But I do want to encourage our hearts. This is a very familiar passage we've been in a few times before. But I just want to come here tonight as we think about Master Club and as we finish up the night tonight. And I want to bring us a message tonight entitled Generational Hope. Generational Hope. And so let me read the first 8 verses and then we'll look at the passage and I'll give you some truths that we find here and hopefully be an encouragement to us tonight. Psalm 78, Maskil of Asaph. That word Maskil means instruction. This is an instructive psalm. Asaph was the chief musician, and this is an instructive psalm. No doubt would have been sung in the services in the temple. And this is an instructive psalm from the chief musician Asaph. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope." The whole point of passing along the truth from generation to generation, Asaph says, here's the reason that we want to declare to the next generation the truth of God's Word, that they might set their hope in God. If we have a reason why we want to teach these children on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings and on Sunday nights, if we have a reason, it's so that they will grow up and that they will not set their hope in themselves, and they will not set their hope in another man, and they will not set their hope in money, and they will not set their hope in education, but they will set their hope in God. That ought to be what we set our hope in as adults tonight. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And might not be as their fathers. Now remember who Asaph is speaking to here. Psalm 78 is a rehearsing of some of the history of the nation of Israel. And if we read the entirety of Psalm 78, which we are not going to do tonight, but if we read that, we would have a little bit of a history lesson of when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, when they came across the Red Sea, when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, we would have some history of the nation of Israel. And Asaph is reminding them that their fathers, especially those that perished in the wilderness, those that came to Kadesh Barnea and they would not go into the Promised Land, the Bible says in verse number 8, and might not be as their fathers. Well, what were their fathers like? They were stubborn. The Bible says here, a stubborn and rebellious generation. We live in the midst of a stubborn and rebellious generation. We live in the midst of a few stubborn and rebellious generations. And he says, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And so I want to bring you this message tonight, Generational Hope. And I want you to look at verses 3 and 4 as we get into the message. I want to give you two points and we'll develop those tonight. He says, which we have heard and known, and notice this, and our what? Our fathers have told us. And then notice verse number 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. He says, look, our fathers have told us, and we're to tell our children, and then they're to tell their children. And he said, it's a generational thing. It goes from one generation to another generation. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Let's pray and ask God to help, and then we'll look here at these 8 verses and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we love you tonight. Father, we're so thankful for this year of Master Club that you've given us. Father, we're thankful for the growth that you have given, spiritual growth that you have given in the lives of some of our children, some of our teenagers. We thank you for the salvation that you have given this year, young people and teenagers who have come to the knowledge of Christ, maybe not necessarily in Master Club, but I personally believe as a direct result of Master Club. And Father, we thank you and praise you for that specifically. And so, Father, for these next few moments, Lord, I ask that you'd calm our hearts, and I pray that you'd speak to us tonight, and I pray that you'd remind us of the responsibilities that we have. And Father, I pray that we would leave here reminded of what you have given us to do, especially as adults tonight. I pray that you'd remind us that we're to pass on what has been given to us so that there will be hope from generation to generation to generation. Help us, Lord. We ask that you'd bless. We commit these next few moments to you. And Father, we praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you number one tonight. I'm going to give you two words, two thoughts. We'll develop those a little bit. I want us to see, first of all, tonight, our obligation. And I'm speaking to us as adults. Our obligation. And then secondly, tonight, I want us to see their opportunity. We see our obligation and then their opportunity. What is our obligation tonight? Let me give you these three quickly if I could. Our obligation, we find it in verses 1 through 5. Here is our obligation as adults tonight, as I would say, the first generation. And I know that even in the midst of that, we have several generations. We have some senior saints in here tonight. We would have some middle-aged, and we even have some young adults tonight that would fit into what I would just lump all of us together into this generation. Our obligation. What is our obligation? First of all, our obligation is to herald and not to hide. To herald, we have a message that we must herald, and we're not supposed to hide it. The Bible says there in verse number 2, he says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. What is our obligation? We are to herald the message of truth, the message of salvation. He says in verse number 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Okay? Our fathers have given us a message, and we are to speak that message to the next generation. Notice verse number 4. We will not hide. We will not hide them. What is the them there? It's speaking back to verse 2, the parable, the dark sayings. He says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. He said, we're to show the next generation the praise that God deserves, the praises that we're supposed to be giving to Him, the praises that He deserves because of who He is. Look what it says in the last part of verse 4. And His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. So first of all, we're to herald and not to hide. Secondly, we are to educate and to exalt. We are to educate the next generation, and we are to exalt to them the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what verse 4 says. We are not to hide the Word. We're to educate them. The Bible there says show. Showing to the next generation. Showing by example. Showing by teaching. Verse 6, it says that the generation to come might what? Might know. We are to educate and we're to exalt. We're to educate the next generation. We're to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 4, it says, showing to the generation to come, that's educating them, the praises of the Lord. Educating them in the praise that God deserves. Educating them in the fact that we need to show them that God is all powerful, that He has the strength, that He deserves our praise. The last part of verse 4 says, and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Now remember, here's the nation of Israel. This is a history lesson. What works did God do for the nation of Israel? He brought them out of Egypt by a high hand, the Bible says, by a mighty hand. The 10 plagues that were done in Egypt, He did that to bring His people out. When He brought them out, what did He do? Parted the Red Sea, didn't He? And Asaph is telling this generation, we're to educate the next generation and we're to exalt before them. We are to example to them the praises that our Lord deserves. So first of all, our obligation, we're to herald and not to hide. We are to educate and to exalt. And then thirdly, very simply, we are to transfer truth. We're to herald and not to hide. We are to educate and to exalt. And we are to transfer truth. And that just really wraps all of it up. That just sums it all up, doesn't it? That's what we're supposed to do. We're to transfer truth to the next generation. We're to transfer the truth of who God is. We're to transfer truth of what He has done for us, the matter of salvation. We're to transfer the truth of how we're supposed to live in light of that, in light of what God has done for us. We're to transfer truth. And so here's a question for us tonight. If we're going to do that, not a question, but really a statement. If we're going to do that, then we must know the truth ourselves. You can't transfer something you don't have. Can you? I can't transfer something to my children. My children, God bless their heart, when I die, I'm not going to transfer a whole lot of earthly goods to them. Because I don't have it. But I tell you what I can transfer to them. I can transfer the truth of God's Word. And by the way, I better do that before I die. Amen? I better do that before I get to that point. I better take every advantage and every opportunity I have. So number one, we see the obligation. Number two, we see the opportunity. We see our obligation. But secondly, we see their opportunity. What is their opportunity? Our obligation is to herald and not to hide. It's to educate and to exalt. It's to transfer truth. Okay, what is their opportunity? Why do we do that? Why do we need to fulfill our obligation as adults, as teachers, as workers? Why in the world do we need to fulfill our obligation? So they'll have an opportunity to do what? First of all, to set their hope. To set their hope. We all have a desire for these children to grow up and to love God and to serve God and to put their trust and their faith and their, first of all, for salvation, first and foremost, but just every day to set their hope in God. Look, not set their hope in government. I tell you what, if any of our children leave here, one of the things I want them to know, don't ever set your hope in government. Don't ever set your hope in another person. Now, we ought to be able to trust individuals. I have a wonderful wife who I trust unconditionally. But listen, I don't set my hope in her. I set my hope in God. She doesn't set her hope in me. She sets her hope in God. And these children, I don't want them to leave here and set their hope in education and set their hope in money and say, well, I want to do this with my life and I want to do this with my life and I want to make a lot of money and I want to be comfortable. No. Now that may be fine and God may bless that way and that's okay. But I don't want them to set their hope in that. I don't want them to put their trust in that. I want them to set their hope, all of their hopes for all of their futures, For their marriage, for their family, for their children, for their communities, for their nation. I want them to set their hope in God. Their opportunity is to set their hope in God. And so we teach them that our hope is not in a man. It is in a man, but I'm talking about an earthly man. We don't set our hope in anything other than a finished work of Jesus Christ. We want to teach them to set their hope in the Scriptures. We want to teach them to set their hope in the salvation that Jesus Christ provides. We want to teach them to set their hope in a field of service for Jesus Christ one day. Not necessarily that's their life's occupation, but living the entirety of their lives with the knowledge that I'm here to serve Jesus Christ. I may not be a preacher, may not be a missionary, may not be a pastor's wife or anything like that, but whatever I do and whatever occupation God calls me to, I'm to serve Jesus Christ. Their opportunity. We want their opportunity, first of all, to set their hope. Set their hope in God, in His Scriptures, in His salvation, in His service. Then secondly, what is their opportunity to set their hope? Secondly, to be steadfast in their hearts. Did you look what the Bible says? Verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, we just looked at this, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. their opportunity. Our obligation is to herald and not to hide, to educate and to exalt, to transfer truth. And we do that, why? So that they'll have the opportunity, what? To set their hope in God. Secondly, to be steadfast in their hearts. Here are the two words. To be faithful and not forgetful. To be faithful and not forgetful. You see what he says there in verses 7 and 8? And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. We mentioned the song many times, but as a matter of fact, the ladies sang this morning. There's a line in the song that they sang, speaking about wandering from God, prone to wander. We're prone to wander many, many times. Here's the truth. We're prone to forget what God has done for us. We're prone to forget that everything we have, everything we are and everything we have is all because of God. It's all because of His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His love, His righteousness and holiness. It's all because of Him. And we're prone to forget that. And we're prone to grow up and to start living our lives and to maybe stray away from God and stray away from the church and stray away from the Scriptures. And listen, we want children who are going to grow up and they're going to be faithful, not forgetful. We're going to continue to remind them who God is, and we're going to continue to remind them what God has done for them and what God daily does for us. We're going to continue to remind them and to exalt, as we said earlier, exalt God Almighty in front of them. Their opportunity. Set their hope. Be steadfast in their hearts. Faithful, not forgetful. And then thirdly, to secure their heritage. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Would you look at verse 6? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. See, it's a cycle. And we want the cycle of a spiritual heritage to continue. Why do we need to fulfill our obligation so they'll have the opportunity to secure a spiritual heritage in their generation and in their children's generation and in their grandchildren's generation, so that when we teach them, they will arise and declare it to their children. So that they will arise and declare it to their children. We've said it before. Listen, the kind of grandchildren that you desire is going to be dependent upon how you raise your own children. What kind of grandchildren do you desire? Well, all of it's going to be dependent upon how you raise your children. You want children who know the Word of God, grandchildren who know the Word of God, then you better teach your children the Word of God. Because if you don't teach your children the Word of God, it is highly likely, they're not going to teach their children. And so your grandchildren aren't going to know. Their opportunity is to set their hope, to be steadfast in their hearts, and to secure the heritage for another generation. You see, here's the truth tonight. I can't secure the heritage necessarily. I can have a part in it. I can't determine what my grandchildren are going to do one day. I can have a part in it. But I can raise children who will have the greatest influence on what my grandchildren will do one day. And then they can raise their children, my grandchildren, to hopefully raise their children and their grandchildren to do the very same thing. We say this all the time, but this is what it's all about. Generational hope. One generation after another generation after another generation after another generation. Remember this morning, we mentioned the lady. She said she wanted to leave several things to her children and her grandchildren. One of those things was a well-worn path to church. I want to leave my children and my grandchildren a well-worn path to the house of God. See, that's generational. That we teach our children to go to the house of God, then they teach their children to go to the house of God, and then they teach their children to go to the house of God. They teach their children to love the Word and to love the God of this Word and to love the Scriptures and to keep it and to be faithful and not forgetful. We have an obligation tonight. I believe we fulfill it. I believe we fulfill it very well many, many times. We have an obligation to herald and not to hide. We have an obligation to educate and to exalt. We have an obligation to transfer truth. Why? So that they'll have an opportunity to set their hope in our God, the God of the Bible. Look, I don't want to be a rebellious father. I don't want to be a rebellious and stubborn father and God have to come or someone else come and say, hey, I know your father was rebellious and stubborn, but you don't have to be like that. By the way, that's true. I'm thankful that anybody can start a spiritual heritage. But I don't want to be a rebellious father. And I don't want to be a stubborn father. I want to be the generation that helps my children to continue a spiritual heritage. They get saved and they trust Christ as their Savior, and then they live for Him and they serve Him and they keep His commandments, the Bible says in Psalm 78. Generational hope. We can look around this room and we can see generational hope tonight. We can look around this room. Really, we've got a number of generations in here tonight. And I'm not going to pick anybody out and try to... There's a pastor, don't pick me out. I'm not the oldest person in here tonight. I'm not going to do that. We have senior saints. That's one generation. And then middle-aged saints. That's another generation that the truth has been passed to. And then we have young adults. That's another generation. And then those young adults are passing it to our children on Wednesday nights. That's another generation. And one of these days, these young men right here, they need to pass it on to another generation. One of these days, they need to take the truth. One of these days, Andrew Fry needs to take the truth that he's learned in his home from his daddy, and learned in his church from his pastor, and learned in his church from his Sunday school teachers. He needs to take that truth and he needs to pass it to his kids. He needs to pass it to the young people that he will have opportunity to have influence over, maybe in the Sunday school class. One of these days, every single one of these young men, we could go around these two young men here and young people, young ladies and young men all around this auditorium tonight. Generational hope. Isn't that what our nation needs tonight? Man, we need hope, don't we? Now, we have hope, don't we? But how many people in our nation tonight will pillow their head tonight with absolutely no hope? And it's because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the one who is the personification of hope. They don't know the one who shed His blood for them and who loves them unconditionally and sacrificially. They don't know Him. That's our obligation, is to transfer truth. Why? So that they'll have an opportunity to set their hope, to be steadfast in their hearts, faithful, not forgetful, and then to secure the heritage, continue it on, carry it on. Generational hope. That's what we're trying to distribute. That's what we're trying to transfer. By the way, not just on Wednesday nights, although that's a wonderful opportunity, but Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, every day of the week when we have opportunity. Generational hope. Let me say this tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't have hope, we use that word. We have hope. I have hope tonight. We live in a nation right now, and I'm done. We live in a nation tonight that is... Really, honestly, it's teetering. Can we be honest tonight? It's teetering. We need leadership. We need righteous leadership is what we need. Righteousness exalteth a nation, not money, not economics. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But listen, I'm going to pillow my head tonight with peace. I'm going to pillow my head tonight with peace. That doesn't mean I'm not concerned about what's going on, because I am. I like being able to drive my vehicle. I like being able to run my lawnmower. I don't want to go there. This isn't a political message tonight. Guys, say, I better not. My point is simply this. I will pillow my head tonight with hope, because I know Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? I'm not asking if you have a head knowledge of who He is. We know who He is. We celebrate Him at Christmas. We celebrate Him at Easter. I'm asking you, do you have a personal relationship with Him tonight? Has there been a moment in your life where you have understood that, man, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. Because of my sin, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. What I deserve is death, spiritual death, in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. But that verse doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Where do we get that eternal life? Eternal life. Not just, well, I have it today and I lose it tomorrow. No, no, no. Eternal life. Where does it come from? The Bible says in the last part of that verse, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you have Jesus Christ tonight? Has there ever been a time when you've called out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? If you haven't, I'd ask you to do that tonight. I know it's Master Club night, but I'd ask you to do that tonight. We're going to have a time of invitation in just a moment. And if you're here tonight, man, woman, boy or girl, it doesn't matter, adult, young person, if you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as Savior, we'd ask you to come. We'd ask you to settle that tonight. That's why we do what we do, is so that young people can set their hope and can pillow their heads at night with peace when everything around them, even maybe their home life, is a little unbalanced sometimes. They can pillow their heads at night with peace because they know the Prince of Peace. Amen. Father, we love You tonight. Father, we thank You for generational hope. We thank You for parents and Sunday school teachers and pastors who have passed this hope down to us. This hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in a church. It's not found in any individual other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I do pray if there's one here tonight without Christ, I pray that they might come. I pray that they might settle that before they leave tonight. If there's a believer here tonight that Your Holy Spirit has dealt with them tonight about their obligation, then, Father, I pray that we would do business with You tonight. I pray that we would be faithful, that we would be diligent in the obligation that You have given us. And Father, help us. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me ask you if you're physically able to stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around tonight. Miss Pam's going to play. We're not going to prolong tonight. But if you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart, we'd ask you to either just kneel right where you're at and just pray and ask the Lord to deal with your heart. Believers, how are we doing on our obligation tonight? Maybe we would just need to kneel right where we're at and say, Lord, help me to be more diligent, more fervent, more faithful in the obligation that You have given me. Dear friend, do you know Christ as Savior? He is the one that gives us hope. He's the one that gives us peace. The Bible says, the peace that passeth all understanding. Do you have that tonight? It's all in Jesus Christ. It's not in what we do and how we live and how good we are. It's all in Jesus Christ. We have an obligation so that they can have an opportunity. We have an obligation so that they can have an opportunity. Amen. Let's